Elon Norster Kenius.
I always like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geek though.
My lord! Back in my day, Porter Turkle, that bastard.
Beast!
Boom wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that, and
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 123 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Superb Owl Sunday, February.
Hey! Yeah. Yeah.
This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about Western Canada hat tricks and yo, yo,
yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo. Yo.
So, we just watched history with the hand egg or something.
It was like the first time for a
hand egg
overtime in the hand egg championship.
With the birds and the white people.
The birds and the white people.
They were doing the passing and the running and the...
Is that the dirty birds? Those were the dirty birds, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Is that a hand egg team?
I think so.
The Georgia Dirty Birds?
Yes.
Versus the...
God damn.
The flying white people? I got nothing else.
Can we talk hockey?
Missiles? I don't know.
I don't know. Can we? I'm talking about hand egg. Do you have no interest in hand egg?
You do not like green hand eggs and ham?
Green hand eggs and ham. Sam, I am.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. So...
We've already lost track here with the with the hand egg here.
Who's with you here?
We may have lost listeners. I don't know.
Yes, we've lost listener.
Because your yawn count is up to like 50 now.
Hi, everybody.
You're Dr. Nick?
I'm Dr. Nick.
Let's go get some toothpicks for his eyes. Do like the cartoon thing.
Oh, yeah. Old Tom and Jerry's, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi guys, how's everybody doing today? Oh shit!
What? Oh, sorry. I was sleeping with my eyes open.
I need those glasses with the eyeballs on the outside.
The googly ones that hang down there.
Oh, wow, those would work too.
It's the prequel to Weekend at Bernie's. Weekend at Aaron's.
I'm just gonna be driving around we're gonna take like Uber or Lyft all over town. I'll be with Kenny holding him by his mullet. He's alive, I swear to God.
Oh. I have no mullet.
You have a hipster mullet.
I do not.
You and Greenlay, like best buds.
Go to hell. I'll meet you there.
Okay, let's talk hockey here, I think. I think we're about ready for that.
All right, let's get into it.
So it was up and down week, you know. There were no close games at all.
Nope.
Really.
One way or the other.
One way or the other. Three road games in Western Canada. Wild and Edmonton destroyed the Oil Slicks 5-2. Kemper had more points than McJesus. It should be noted.
Yeah.
It should also be noted that McDavid has played three times this season versus the Wild, most against any team without a goal, or any points, actually. He also has the lowest plus-minus versus the Wild, which I think is pretty awesome.
Hey. Just because you look like the gift don't mean you play like the gift.
Leads the league in points, and we've held him to bupkis, so.
I, you know what? I think that says a lot about this team.
Yeah.
What else happened?
What else says something about this team is then we went into Calgary. And got blown out 5-1.
Blown out. Yeah, we didn't
there was not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, we didn't show up.
Am I reading this right? Was our last regulation loss back in November?
Road regulation
road laws. Right. It was back in November.
Yep.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Wow.
And the great thing is then the Wild followed it up with a win.
Big win.
But it means that the Wild have not lost two regulation games in a row since the beginning of November.
That's pretty awesome. I gotta say, man, that is spectacular.
That means they're getting points in just about every game, and they're not stringing together two games without points.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
That's a team.
Yeah. So last night, the Wild won 6-3 versus Vancouver. Granny gets his first NHL hat trick.
Woo woo!
Awesome.
Woo woo!
Thanks, Trev.
Also has a 12-game point streak, which is the longest in the current streak in the NHL. And also the longest in Wild history.
Really?
Longest, I think.
Wow.
I'm going to. Felska, I know, will know who I can't remember. I'm blanking on who he passed, but 12 games, pretty impressive. He's also broken personal goal. He's broken his personal record for goals in a season with 15 now. Previously had 13 as his high. And he tied a career best in assists with 33. And he's got 4 more points in his career high with 31 games left to go.
Yeah.
Needless to say, he's having a great season.
That he is.
You know, I loved, Russo had an article afterwards, and he had some quotes in there, or maybe it was just a tweet. But, you know, he was asking Koivu about Granlund. And because after Granlund scored his hat trick, he was just kind of like, okay.
No, yeah, you know, for a guy who got his first NHL hat trick, he was very stoic thin about it.
Yeah. Didn't look very excited. And Koivu's response was, I don't think he ever gets excited about anything.
Bless the Finn.
It's in his blood, right?
Well, that's a Finn saying the other Finn doesn't get excited.
So is he very moot? Like, I mean, just in general, like...
Just like a muted response, or
like moot, like just, you know, no emotion whatsoever.
Maybe he's on the spectrum. I don't know. Anyway, Granny's an RFA next year. Does not trying to tie him up this past year, or you know, the previous chances we've had to a longer term deal look kind of foolish right now.
We need to keep him.
I mean, do the Wild have what it takes to keep him, though? I mean, are we going to have enough cap room? Are we going to...
We're going to be losing somebody to Vegas.
Right.
I don't want it to be Granny. I think we need to keep him, especially... I mean, he's been playing exceptionally well, obviously, especially on the wing instead of as a center
season. He's had a great... I mean, what was it? There was... I think Kevin Gorg had mentioned that Boudreau said... Granny was the best winger he's ever coached. And he's coached Ovechkin. He's coached playmaking winger.
Yes.
So there was that caveat.
All right.
But he's coached Ovechkin. He's coached Solani. I would say he's not even the best Finnish winger. You can make, Nicholas Backstrom.
Right.
Also great. I mean, it's a little bit of a loaded statement, I think. But... Yeah. Granny's having a great season. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
And he's still young.
I mean, he's only 24, so yeah. he's still quite young.
Who's having a bad season for the Wild right now?
Well, right now, Coyle's not playing very well.
Okay,
but you can't say the whole season.
But
is
I mean,
lost
as far as this season goes, Coyle's still up there in points.
Well, yeah, he started off the season.
But he's got one goal in the last 19 games.
He's in a little bit of a slump, yes.
It's a lot of a slump.
That is. But who has he been playing with lately, too, now? Though,
well, you play who you get to play with, you know?
Yeah.
If you're not scoring, you're not going to be playing first-line minutes.
Our fourth line lit it up.
And if you're good, you should be making whatever line you come to better.
Right.
I was saying, our fourth line lit it up against... who was that? Edmonton, right? That was our fourth line that kind of just wreaked havoc on Edmonton.
Yeah.
So it literally does not matter what line you're playing on. You should be scoring goals.
Oh yeah. I don't disagree with that. And I mean, really, at this point in the season, though, I think that we do have contribution coming in from all levels. first line through the fourth line. I don't think that, you know, that's a even really of concern right now. I mean, we're getting production from all lines. Boudreau can put out who he wants for, you know, whatever situation, and, you know,
he shouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, and I still think is just hilarious, actually, is I remember how much gnashing of teeth there was, and I know I've brought this up on the show before, but about how much gnashing of teeth there is with in the last years with, yo, juggling lines. Boudreau is doing it just as much.
And I can't say that I've never under my breath thought, what, you know, would he settle on something? But I mean, when you continue to have success with it, though.
Boudreau's doing it in the right fashion.
It's only crazy if it doesn't work, right?
Right.
I mean, that's really what it is.
If you're in the Super Bowl and you go for it on 4th and 25 and you fail, well, it looks stupid. But if you make it, it's like,
it's a genius.
You're a
play.
Genius.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Boudreau, the big difference I see between Boudreau and Yo is Boudreau is giving some of the younger guys a shot. And he's letting them either, you know, live by the sword or die by the sword. And they're doing extremely well with the people that they're playing with.
Yeah.
And I much more agree with Boudreau than I do with Yo's system, where Yo, you know, the guys didn't do well and they were immediately dropped.
But it only went for some players, though, too.
Right.
Well, if you were...
That's the thing that you've seen with Boudreau is, like, he doesn't care who the hell you are.
He really does not care how long you've been in the league, where your stature is with the league.
No.
If you're not playing well, he will move you down.
Yeah.
I mean, how often have we seen, especially now, how often have we seen Parisi playing on what would be considered the third line?
But how much was Yo's failure due to the fact that he was familiar with a lot of these players from having coached them in Houston?
Houston.
So, it, you know,
maybe more of a friendship type level.
Right, because you're like more of a you're nurturing their talent,
especially yeah, in the down in the minors. I mean, you're exactly.
So he's basically stuck between nurturing these kids and then having to trust the veterans that are on the team.
Yeah,
and what it ends up being is the veterans run everything, and the kids are basically screwed.
Yeah,
and you got your vets skating way more minutes than they really deserve.
Well, exactly, and Boudreau's not doing that. He's putting the young guns up and getting them the minutes as long as they're producing.
Keep the fresh legs on the ice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of Yo.
Yeah.
Speaking of Yo.
Yo.
Yeah. Should we get into the wild card?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Yeah, so speaking of Yo, we've got kind of a reborn situation for Yo down there.
Almost
in
a year.
St. Louis. Almost a year to the day, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a phoenix rising from the ashes of Ken Hitchcock.
You really went there.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of surprised about this, but Jive, why don't you...
So the former Minnesota Wild head coach, Mike Yo, he's getting another shot at being a head coach again. Last Wednesday, the Blues cut ties with Ken Hitchcock. And they put Yo up in charge of these slumping Blues. They're sliding down the ranks right now. I mean, I remember us, you know, talking not long ago that they're right on our heels. But they've been, going through some.
I like Hitchcock. I think Hitchcock is a good coach.
He's got some attitude.
You know, and I feel like he's kind of on the same level as Boudreau. You know, he's got some of the old school mentality with him. He can coach winning teams. I don't know if I agree with the fact that, you know, the last year in his contract and the Blues, you know, just cut him loose.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you look back to last year, I mean, with the Minnesota Wild and when Yo was let go there, it was, you know, the spot, you know, Yo was basically the scapegoat for the rest of the team not performing. Because really, once you get up to this level, you're all supposed to be professionals, and you should all be coming to do your job every day.
You're still dealing with kids.
But, well, not really. I mean, they're supposed to, you know, I mean, this is the pros. You're supposed to come, you know, come to work, come in your suit, and be ready to work, you know?
Yeah, hopefully you don't come in your suit, but, you know.
Unless, well, you know, it might be different with Vegas now.
But it's kind of a bummer, though, that, I know there's a Twitter question coming up about it later, but Hitchcock is one win away from going to tying third all-time in wins.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a bummer that he was, like, that close.
You know? They couldn't give him a couple more days.
Right.
You know? let me try to get that one more.
Got to let Al Arbor keep his sole spot of third.
So what do you guys think Yo might need to do a little bit differently down there in St. Louis to, you know, avoid what kind of the woes that eventually
took
him down here?
My thing with Yo is, you know, not just going on, not just letting the names play, but actually letting some of the youth and some of the up-and-comers, you know, get their time to shine and not just rely on contract status, number status.
Sounds like he's inheriting a whole nother goalie problem down there to me.
Well,
the goalies are a mess in St. Louis, so there's definitely that.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can get things figured out. I don't know.
Something with that.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for you. I want Yo to do well, just not against the Wild.
Yep, fair enough. So anytime he comes to town here, you lose Yo, but otherwise, have fun.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't mind Yo as a coach around here.
No, and hopefully he'll have learned from his mistakes in Minnesota.
Yep.
You know, at least for him as a human being, you know,
right?
Not against it, not as an opponent, you know,
right.
So
okay. The other little bit of news this week that the Wild, Alex Stalock, they agreed to a 2-year, $1.3 million deal. So this deal though, this will allow the Wild to expose Stalock then during the expansion draft.
Sure. Yep.
And they'll be able to protect Dubnyk.
I think we all kind of agreed though that Dubnyk was going to be a protected asset.
Well, you can't protect him though if you don't have someone to expose.
Yeah.
You have to expose. Sure. You have to expose one goaltender. Yeah. If you only got one goaltender signed, you're going to have problems.
Right. And yeah, to that point, Kemper will be a free agent.
Right.
So, what do you guys think though? I mean, does the signing of this local guy from South St. Paul does? You know, does he have a chance to maybe be the future successor of Dubnyk, or do you think the Wild are just doing what they have to do to protect what they have?
Well, I was going to say, I think, you know, obviously we needed to protect Dubnyk. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Probably given.
But I maybe I'm just higher on Stalock than most, but I think Stalock could be capable. I thought he did well when he was with San Jose.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did actually do pretty well.
So I'm not as worried about him coming in if Kemper is hurt or leaves, you know. So I'm actually okay with it. And it's not like it's a big contract. It's a
couple years.
I'm a little more worried that Vegas might take a bite on him.
Take him up on it.
Yeah, because his contract is pretty friendly. Would be pretty friendly to them, and I don't know what they're going to get on the backup goalie market. So
yeah, that's true.
You know, Stalock coming up. I mean, I think it more so the writing's on the wall for Kemper being gone.
Yeah, they're probably.
I don't see Kemper getting re-signed.
No.
And having Stalock come up. I mean, yes, I do like him. I like him as a goalie. His numbers are looking pretty solid. And you know, he's not going to be a number one. I mean, he is up there, you know, he's not a spring chicken, neither is Dubnyk. And
oh, when we got Dubnyk, he wasn't young.
No, that's what I'm saying. And we're going to have to look 5 years out right now for a definite another backup goalie or another goalie in general.
With goalies also, there's they have a later development curve than, say, a skater.
Sure.
It's a different way to see the game.
It is, yeah.
From back there, you know?
And it's pretty rare that you've got a young goalie that is playing out of his mind.
Out of his mind, right.
You know, you're much more likely to have a 20-year-old forward lighten things up than a 22-year-old goalie.
They've got some things that, you know, maybe some physical capabilities can help you out with there.
Going back to the hand egg, quarterbacks, same thing. Like, I mean, you see a lot more 30-something quarterbacks than you do 30-something linemen.
True.
You know? You got those guys are a little bit more protected, I think, and they're not taking as much physical abuse. Well, I mean, goalies do.
For a guy who wanted to talk about hockey, I can't believe you're bringing up hand egg again.
Wait.
Well,
sorry.
And sorry to keep on that, but I mean, it was kind of history making today, the hand egg stuff, right? But no, I mean, we're talking about a 39-year-old guy in one of probably the most brutal sports to be played out there. And, you know, he's 39 years old and he's still out there putting up wins.
You know who's the 39-year-old still putting up wins?
Jágr.
That guy.
Nicholas Backstrom.
Backstrom. Where?
In Finland.
In Finland.
I'm going to see him next month, actually.
There you go. Yeah.
Are you actually going to a game in Finland?
I got tickets for a
Oh, dude.
For the Helsinki Hockey
You going to
wear
club. Your Wild shirt there?
I'm going to probably go to whatever Ali Express.
The one place to get our stuff from.
Yeah, the $30 Chinese jersey.
Oh, I thought you were saying
I'm going to get myself a Backstrom jersey and wear it there. Because I'm not going to pay $100 for a Backstrom jersey. No.
I thought you were saying you were going to go, when you first started saying Ali, I was thinking, like, on your way to the stadium, you're going to go down one of the alleys and look for, like, somebody, you know, buy a one off the black market. Yeah.
What, they speak Russian?
Maybe.
Out the black market. Hey, do you have any bucks from jerseys?
Oh, you never know.
I've got many ruples.
Millions.
Wait, are ruples still a
1
thing?
1 million ruples. $2.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, are we done about that?
Yeah, so what do we got coming up?
So. All right, upcoming.
So, I think we're kind of all... we're a little wrong on the Alex Tuch thing last week.
Well, it was just asking for our opinion. And
our
know,
opinion was wrong off by 180 degrees.
I said he would be coming up, but my guess was later in the year when, you know, but we are, you know, we're in back-to-back, quite back-to-back territories, but I mean.
We were in back-to-backs and we got blown out pretty badly.
Yeah.
So it's hard to argue with the response. I mean,
people are showing their wear and tear and you got to get some fresh blood up.
Well, he got called up after the loss to Calgary, just in time for the Vancouver game, you know, and. I think he played pretty well. I liked what he was doing. I mean, you know, what do you guys feel? What type of impact do you think, you know, what kind of impact do you feel Tuch had on his debut?
I think that he was, I mean, you noticed he was there. I think the overall stats, he only had like maybe one shot actually on goal. Maybe two and a few chances.
But he was in the play, though.
He was in the play. He made some passes. He didn't make as boneheaded of a move as, like, Riley did when he gave up.
Yeah.
Riley gave it up, so then they had, like, a two-on-one coming back, and they scored.
Right.
He didn't make a boneheaded mistake like that. You know, he's got a bigger body. I could see that working well with the team. I think we need some, you know, a little bit more size. We've got plenty of speed out there. But sometimes you need to slow another team down too. So
and the Wild, I guess. Well, the Wild definitely need that. And he brought physicality.
Yeah.
You know, he was playing like we want Coyle to play.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that's kind of the depressing part, is because Coyle's now been around for several years, and we don't get to regularly see play like that out of Coyle. And they're they've got a similar, you know.
Similar. I think Tuck's got a little bit more of a build.
You think Coyle might be getting a bit complacent and thinking he's set?
I mean, it could be.
He could be, but I think that Coyle is probably pretty frustrated with this game at this point right now. And that's,
well, I hope so, you know, cuz it's not been good.
But that's going to happen with a player too. You know, where you're going to go through slumps. Sometimes it is going to be 20 games. Last year we had, you know, 20 guys who were slumping. I'm
pretty sure that we've talked about this before with Coyle. I mean, he's got the size, and you know, it's kind of, I want to see him use his body more, and yeah. It's not happening. I don't know if he's trying to be more of a finesse player, but he's got the size to actually get into the corners and start grinding with some guys and, you know, do something about it. You know, put some physicality
on
it.
He's going to be grinding with some guys. Sorry.
Swipe left, swipe right. The grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail that, but...
Okay.
So, well, I mean, our people are saying that they think Coyle's hurt right now.
Well, it could be. I mean, he played, was it last season or was it 2 years ago where he had two dislocated shoulders?
That was playoffs, I think.
Yeah.
Two years ago?
Well, it came out like right after the season was
done. Might have been three.
Yeah, but I mean, it wouldn't be the first time he's been playing hurt and the public doesn't know about
right,
it, you know?
Right.
And, hey, it's possible. I definitely could believe that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got...
But then if he's that hurt, why are we playing him?
Yeah, wow. He shouldn't be playing. We've got other options.
Right.
Tuck, right now.
That, or, I mean, and then, I mean, there were still people who we've got who are, you know, on the bench, you know, or sitting in the stands, you know, healthy scratch, Schrader. I mean,
I don't know. Schrader's doing all right this year when he's been up, but I'm still not.
I'm liking his game, actually. I think that
I'm not 100%
on him. I think that when
he's
here, he's a contributor, and you know, it might not always show up. That's the thing, is, you know, play doesn't always show on the score or in the stats, but
no, and that's very true.
Yeah.
So games this week. Tuesday night. I almost said tomorrow night, but we're on Sunday right
it's
now.
It's only yeah. Sunday. Sunday.
Tuesday we're in Winnipeg against the Jets. We'll actually be seeing some Finns.
When do they come back from Canada?
Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
So the following day, we got the Blackhawks here. And I think that's going to be a very interesting game. I'm looking forward to that. I know a couple of us will be there live. You know,
we should see if we can get you guys in the box.
We don't have a three in the box yet. So, yeah. You know, a couple of us with somebody else, I think.
Maybe we'll get you guys in the box with one of the Wild players.
I think that should happen.
Who are we going to put you in there with? Prosser.
Palmaville.
Oh, he'd probably brawl with you.
Yeah, we'd probably
keep cutting on his game. I mean, what's he doing wrong right now?
That box would get very small very quick. So then a couple of a day off. Friday we've got Tampa Bay here, and then Sunday we have the Red Wings. For a 2 p.m. game.
Early.
Matinee.
Sunday, matinee.
Sunday.
So, yeah, that looks like a pretty healthy week there.
Yeah. I think we're starting to get into the thick of it where we're going to see four games a week.
Yeah, we're into that part of the season, that's for sure.
I like that. That'll help out my fantasy goalies.
No one cares about your fantasy team.
Yes, they do.
I do. I needed him to win this week.
You guys tell me
how
much you care about it.
No.
Okay.
Jive, why did you lose this week?
Don't care.
No one will care. Ever.
Why did I lose?
No one cares. Okay. No one cares. Moving on.
Moving on. All right.
Put it down. All right. First question on Twitter Talk from Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. Do you think Ken Hitchcock would be a good expansion team coach a la Jacques Lemaire for Vegas? Yes or no?
Ooh, that's actually a good question. You know what? They're hunting right now. They already started doing some of their trades and players, and I think Hitchcock would actually be a very good coach for Vegas. You know, because it's going to be a mix of players, and he has coached, you know, quite a nice little conglomerate of players in his past that I think Hitchcock would be a very good coach for Vegas.
He could be. He's been around the block a few times, so, I mean, he's definitely going to bring, you know, some experience, and you probably, you know, that experience will be valuable. You're not going to want to bring in somebody who's very green at being a coach and into especially an expansion type team where, you know, basically you're building from the ground up right there and you're getting things started and a new coach coming in isn't going to be able to learn, you know.
There's no system
on the run right there. Yeah,
there's no system or history with the team or the players that are there. So.
But at the same point, St. Louis was looking to get rid of Hitchcock anyway. This was going to be his last season. I'm thinking Hitchcock's done anyway.
Maybe
he was. I would think he's cruising towards, you know,
retirement
and having
that's quite possible as
laying his large body on a beach somewhere.
Will we have Boudreaux after this year?
Boudreaux's got a couple more years, isn't he?
2 years.
Yeah, we got more than 1 year.
I think we signed him to a 2 year deal. Is that what it was?
It was like 3 or 4.
I didn't think it was that long, actually. Yeah.
But to my point, he had a limited shelf life. I don't think he's gonna do anything with Vegas unless he wants to just, you know, stick it to St. Louis for canning him mid season.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, we don't know. Maybe he said, "I'm done. Let Mike coach. I'm done."
He might have said that.
Yeah.
He might have already expressed some interest in the Vegas team. And maybe the St. Louis Blues said, well, at this point, we're just going to cut ties in right now. We'll be done.
Or what if Vegas gives, like, Torchetti a chance?
Ooh.
Is he only on a 1 year contract with Columbus? Sorry, that was Tortorella. Wrong T.
Torchetti he's a bench coach somewhere. I don't remember where.
Tampa Bay.
I'm blanking. But, you know, maybe someone like him,
Florida,
you know.
I thought it was a Florida team.
Yeah. Anyway, next question.
Next. All right, next question comes in from Ty Sandstrom at Ty Sands 42. Will Tuck stay up for the remainder of the season? What are your thoughts on his first game performance last night?
I think we kind of covered last game. However, we're staying up for the remainder of the season. I'd say it's 50-50 at this point. I mean, if he remains relevant like he was, he doesn't have to necessarily put up points to be a game changer.
Yeah.
And so as long as he's playing his game, points or no points, I'm okay with that. You know, that's kind of the thing. That's the bummer with Coyle is his game is scoring. So if he's not scoring and he's not playing physical,
right,
he's not adding anything. Whereas Tuck was at least getting involved in plays and he was knocking on the door a couple times. You know,
I think we even talked about that too. Though I mean, him staying up is kind of going to be, you know, relevant to how healthy some of these other players actually are right now, and maybe giving them some time to rehab, you know, a bit. But as we've seen with all of our lines, it's not necessarily, you know, a scoring streak or for, you know, line one or line two, line three, line four. It's been going in waves, and it's kind of been rotating around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once I think if he gets on that line and he stays up with the line that's actually doing the scoring,
yep,
I could see him being up for a while.
Yeah. Hey, and I guess I don't know. I don't know how long it will last for him. I don't see him being up for the entire remainder of the season. I do expect to see him, you know, off and on throughout the season, though, here. And I don't know if he's always going to come up in that. I know he got, you know, put in on the, you know, the quote-unquote number one line, you know. But I don't think that we're going to see him every game, but I definitely think that his call-ups will be more often. He proved in his opener with his performance, I think, that he can play in the league. But I do think that, you know, point production actually would end up being a contributing factor to him staying here, especially if he's looking to stay on a top line.
All right.
Next question.
Next question comes from State of Hockey at MNPuck27.
You better watch your name.
Yeah.
Just ask Velska.
We don't need another crease and assist.
All right.
So much was made of our winning window. With the prospects coming up, is our window opening instead of closing?
I'm with the cap that we've got in the league today, our window is going to be set.
It's actually like the little basement window that you can look out of. We only have them up here in the north. They don't do that stuff down south, but in the basement, you know, and
crawl out of it. It's not fire rated.
Right. It's not a legal bedroom if that's what you have in your room.
However, you can get airflow through. Yes.
Or maybe it's like a hotel window where you can only open it a crack.
Oh, right.
And so you've got a chance kind of all the time, but mm-hmm. that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have players coming and going. That's at least the way I view it. This year, maybe it's a little different. I think we need to capitalize on the players we've got. Because I think the bigger thing is you've got the Parisis. You got Parisi, Stahl, you've got Suter. Those guys are getting older.
But they're locked in for several years now.
They're locked in for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And when they're in their late 30s, are they going to be contributing?
Or are they going to be our third and fourth liners?
Right. And we're not going to have any money for keeping some of these young kids. Yep. So I think our window is very short. And
it's not to say that a contract can't be restructured at some point.
It's unlikely, though.
Aaron, that actually, you know, kind of brings up a separate question, though. Are we going to start seeing guys more like Jágr that are playing into their 40s?
I doubt it. I mean,
you think it's still going to be a 20-year-old game?
Jágr's a specimen.
Yeah. This is true.
All right.
All right, next question from Alec at WildStrong23. Is Granny, Koivu, and Zucker the best line in the NHL? Right now, they're on fire. It's hard to argue. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say the best, because Pittsburgh still has a very strong line with Crosby, Malkin.
But, I mean, this line has probably been one of the strongest lines we've had in a long time.
I'm pretty sure I heard the stat at some point in last night's game that they're all together like a combined plus 90.
Yeah, they are rocking and they are rolling right now.
Now that means that each of them probably on average are plus 30, basically, right?
Right.
So
I'm pretty sure they're all top five in the NHL plus minus.
Plus 30 average for some forwards, is that a bad thing? Absolutely not.
I don't think so. You're keeping the puck out of our goal and you're getting it in their goal. That's the entire point of the game, is it not?
Right.
Sounds like a top line to me.
They are killing it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some good combinations out there, but I think that, you know, like I said, the Pittsburgh line, I mean, just call me Pierre, just drilling over.
Okay. I was a little wrong. They are 1, 3, and 4 in the NHL.
Oh.
So they're all
Suter
the
had to, Suter had to ruin it by being second.
Oh really?
And then fifth is Spurgeon. So
are you kidding me? So we got
we have the top five.
The top five plus minus guys in the NHL right now.
Justin Schultz is number 6.
Former Wild.
No. Former Was he played for Minnesota, didn't he?
Yeah, Wild.
Schultz?
Yeah, Schultz. Schultz never played for the Wild.
I thought he did. No. Was it Gophers?
You're thinking of Nick Schultz.
Yes.
There. Yeah, different Schultz.
Different Schultz, sorry.
Justin Schultz. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm glad we got that cleared up. Yeah, no. I mean, there's a couple of good pairings out there. But as far as a full line, yeah, I think that, you know, that might be obviously the...
You score goals and you don't give up goals.
That's a quality line.
That's a good line.
And that's their number two line. Right?
Well, we have this discussion, I think, every time. What is the number one line? What is the number two? What are numbers?
Right. You know? But I said it earlier. I mean, right now with the Wild, it seems like we're honestly skating with, you know, a couple of number one lines and a couple of number two lines, really.
Yeah.
You're getting contribution from all around.
Yep.
I mean, when you're skating Stewart on your fourth line and...
He's scoring.
He's scoring, or he's even the one that you're putting out there in a shootout situation.
Yeah. or you're putting him against the number one line to shut that line down. I mean...
Right.
I think we're sitting in a very good spot right now.
We do. We don't have a lot to complain about.
Jive, next question.
Next question comes in from Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. At this point, what product would Charlie Coyle be promoting for a Super Bowl commercial? Depends, perhaps?
Wow. Derek Winther. I don't know. I see like Puppy Chow.
Puppy Chow.
I don't know why. I just pictured Coyle promoting Puppy Chow.
Not like Kibbles and Bits being the like the dog jumping over and off.
It's Puppy Chow. I don't know. I don't know why. I have that vision.
I see. I would see him as taking over the State Farm commercials. For discount double check guy.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and, I mean, Rodgers needs something to do today.
And instead of like, because I've seen one of the recent ones with Rodgers and he's got like his golf club and he accidentally puts it like through the window or something. And so you could just have Coyle out there and like he takes a shot and he misses wide and.
So like
breaks
like
the glass or something.
Happy Gilmore style.
I'm not an advertising agency, so don't look to me for great ideas.
Okay, and I'm gonna go a little. I think this is a setup for dump on Coyle, but I'm not actually gonna go a little different and go since he's from New England. I think he's gonna promote Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh,
is Dunkin' Donuts a New England thing?
It's really big out east. Really big out of
here. I thought you were gonna go the Disney World route and say now that your hometown football team won the Super Bowl, are you gonna do?
Yeah. So
I'm going to Disney World.
I gotta ask this. I remember Dunkin' Donuts in the Twin Cities as a kid. Like
there was a couple of them.
Yeah.
Like actually quite a few.
Yeah.
And there have been some that have remained longer than Krispy Kremes. Because, they came and they went.
But then they were all gone.
Yep.
There was still one or two left, I thought.
No.
Well, they're coming back now.
Well, now they are. And it's like a huge thing with Dunkin' Donuts coming back. But I'm going, they were here and they were big previously. So is it just like one of those things?
Donuts went out of fashion
it's just like Krispy Kreme. They overexpanded and they weren't sustaining. They weren't making money in the right places.
And then, and then Super Mom, she cornered the market.
Actually,
Super Mom's is gross. I'm sorry. Are.
I agree.
I got food poisoning at least twice.
At least twice.
And I will never eat their damn
donuts again. I got to say is Jerry's Foods, at least the one out by me there, has deep. Oh, man.
I do think the Tim Hortons ones at the Mall of America.
Those are pretty.
Those are tasty.
Those
are bad.
But I get this one from Jerry's. So it's like got some maple maple type frosting maple glaze. On it, and then they got like real bacon crumbles on top of it. Oh, God.
Nothing beats Gordo's in Austin, Texas.
No. Gordo's is awesome.
Or Round Rock Donuts.
That's a long ways to go for a donut.
Round Rock Donuts in Round Rock, Texas. Best basic glazed donuts ever.
I do got to say, though, since we're speaking donuts and Krispy Kremes, Derek, next time you're in town, we need to grill some Krispy Kremes, and we need you to bring them back for us. Because we don't have any direct access, and we have not found better donuts to grill than Krispy Kremes.
Grilling the creams.
Grilling the creams.
Jeez. Or you could have creams on your grill.
We don't want that. We don't want that.
And next question. Wow. Also from State of Hockey at MNPuck27. Did Fletcher mess up by not signing Nino and Granny this offseason? Their price has to be going up with each game that they play. You know, I think all the players are kind of getting that way right now under Boudreaux's regimen, because we've seen all lines produce. So I don't...
Even outside of the expansion draft, the Wild are going to lose players this upcoming offseason.
This is our year. If we're going to do anything, it has to be this year right now.
Well, and even with the success that we have had, players are going to... I mean, it's going to get too expensive to keep them all.
Right. We're in a cap system. We're going to lose someone we don't want to lose. And did they mess up? You know, I think they did with Granny, but at the same time, the way he was playing under, you know, the Yo Torchetti system wasn't working.
No.
So it's easy for you to go, well, he must be the problem.
Yeah.
It's easy to you know, logic your way in there, but, you know.
All right.
Next question from Tor at Finisodan 12. Thoughts on Tuck's first game in the big league? I think we've covered that.
That was a good one.
All right. Next question from the Frosty Boy, Minnesota Frosty Boy, my nemesis.
No one cares about your fantasy hockey.
22, actually 31 games, games remaining, predictions for the rest of the season. And who is this Granlund fella?
Well, depending on what era you watched, it might be a Michael Granlund. It could be a Mikhail Granlund. It could
Marcus.
Be
Mickey Granlund.
Mickey Granlund.
Granlund.
Why can't it be Marcus?
Because that's his brother that plays. Sorry.
That is the lesser Granlund.
Yeah. Well, he didn't specify. He just said, who is this Granlund fella?
Maybe he was.
If this came in during last night's game, maybe he was referring to that. You know? You need to specify, my nemesis.
Stop it! Just stop it! I can't reach the mute button.
Is it every question we get from Frosty? We're gonna harass his choice of phrasing.
So with those many games remaining, though, predictions for the rest of this season. So we got what, 31 games?
31 games. I'm gonna say 17-5-9. Is that right?
22. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, really 9 overtime games?
Yeah, why not?
I can't get into deep numbers like that.
You work at a bank.
Yeah, I don't get into deep numbers like that. I fly by the seat of my pants. That looks good.
Close enough.
Yeah. No, but what I think is that, you know, with the remaining, you know, the remainder of the season here, it's going to get tough. We're going to have a lot of back-to-backs.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're going to end up having maybe as much success as we've had to this point in the season. But I, you know, I think that the Wild have proven already that they're going to be a very solid team, and we can expect that they won't, you know, go through a 9 or a 10 game losing streak. So, you know, I probably only see them, you know, foresee them losing maybe probably about 6 or 7, maybe 8 more games down the road.
I'm actually kind of close to that jive. I'm gonna go 2/3, 1/3. I'm gonna go 21 wins, 10 losses.
Nothing in overtime.
Maybe.
If the Super Bowl can go to overtime,
they're all going to be a blowout one way or another.
Yep.
All right, last question.
Last question.
Last question, also from Chris Frost.
My nemesis. I need stop a sample. It. Okay, I'll stop.
At MN Frosty Boy. That being said, how does
just because Blackhawks... you look like the GIMP don't mean you play like the GIMP?
Sorry.
For your
I
nemesis?
Didn't say anything. It was just a sample.
Is that for your nemesis?
Yes.
How does the Blackhawks schedule stack up versus ours? Looks easier. More Eastern Conference opponents a factor.
The East is better than than it has been over the last few years. So I don't think it's a cakewalk.
That actually, Aaron, that has me worried. If we make it, which I'm going to say yes, to the Cup Final, the East is going to be a pain in the ass.
Well, we'll worry about that when we get there, though.
Exactly.
The East are always that way.
That being said, though,
just
Black
the East
Hawks
Coasters
schedule,
in general.
Well, those massholes.
Yes.
Blackhawks schedule, I mean, I don't know that their schedule's any easier or more difficult than ours. I think they're kind of facing some of the same stuff we are. And, you know, you look at it from our perspective, and yeah, it looks like it sucks, but I think there's a lot of teams in that same boat.
Yeah, and really, I think that there are quite a few teams that are kind of skating in that middle ground there. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, dueling going on there, I think, coming down to the end of the season here. And with that said, I don't think that any game is going to be an easy game then, because if you've got these teams that are, you know, vying for that final, wild card spot or something like that. I mean, it's the NHL any night. I mean,
right.
Well, and playoffs are basically season part two. Like, it's a whole new time. Like, teams play differently. They play harder. They play, you know, it's another battle come postseason.
Yeah. And to get up to that point, I think that, yeah.
I think we got a shot, though.
We've got a shot.
We have a shot.
So you're saying I have a chance.
Aaron, we had a survey out.
Yes, we do. And I was going to bring that up. It's in the show notes if you'd read ahead. I'm going to bring it up in a little bit. Thank you.
Oh, crap.
However, I will promote our upcoming guest next Monday.
Humang is big.
Next Monday on the show, we will have David Birding, photographer. I believe he does wire service photography for the Wild.
He's huge.
If you caught him, you may have seen him on TV a couple weeks ago when he was the photographer who was hit by a puck and was bleeding at the X.
Talk about taking one for the team.
And he's also done some of the aerial photography. If you remember last year during the playoffs, there was the big argument whether the puck went over the line.
Yes.
And it was an overhead view. That was actually his picture. So he's got a lot of great pictures that he's taken for the team. So it'll be great to have him and kind of bend his ear on what it's like to be in the kind of production end of covering a Wild game. So we'll have him on next Monday.
Sounds exciting.
It's going to be fun.
Do we have a big announcement this week?
I think that's pretty big.
That was a big announcement. Jeez. Does that work?
I hope so.
Gosh.
It's not me. I'm just the medium to the people on the other side.
You're a medium?
I am a medium.
Are you like John Edwards, where you're going to be like, yes, your Uncle Billy
I worked John Edwards. That was crazy show.
Anyway, I think that's it.
That's where my Nostrius skills came from, actually, is working John Edwards.
Okay, I think this is enough. We're talking about, like, psychics now.
And I'm not psychic, so I'm not understanding a word you're saying.
So,
that's
Kenny,
why you don't have Nostrius in your title.
Kenny, where can people find what you're up to when you're not yawning?
The Nostrius thing.
What is the yawn counter at? Has anybody been keeping track?
I don't know.
Felska? Teresa?
They lost count. They ran out of fingers to count on, Kenny.
Oh, it got that bad.
Yes. So it was Teresa and Derek were keeping count. So they had 10,
20
fingers. And then they included their toes. And
how many is that, Jive?
That's well over 40.
What do they got?
Remember,
a
I'm
toe?
I'm a banker. I know numbers.
I will say this show is... Episode is sponsored by Beard Beer.
Mm.
Beard Beer. It's so good. Mm. It's made from...
beard.
It's made from the yeast from a brewer's beard.
Intentionally.
Intentionally. Mm. And it is delicious.
Here, have some dandruff off my beard.
Kenny Yon Counter is at 23. So, there you go.
Crap.
Kenny, where can people find you?
On Twitter, on Facebook, at NostraKennius.
Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I am at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. We have a survey going on. You can go take it. Please do if you're listening to the podcast.
We want to hear from you.
We want to hear from you. We're trying to just, you know, make sure we're kind of doing what works for us. And
what makes you happy.
Right.
We're here to please. If you're not happy...
We're givers.
We're not doing our job if you're not happy listening to us talk.
Yes. So if you can go... either you can look up the tweet on Twitter, or you can go to goo.gl. That's their Google shortener thing. A10GQ, capital A.
Do we have the link on our website?
We do. We will at the end of the show.
Okay.
So you can also go to our website, 3inthebox.com. We'll have a link there if you don't want to type in all that gobbledygook.
Googly-gop.
Googly-gop? Okay, why not?
Yeah.
So
it's googly-ish.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter, at 3inthebox. If you got questions for us, send us those tweets, #3ITB. We'll probably read them on the show.
We love answering
them.
They're actually probably the funnest thing out of our whole show, actually, I would say.
We love you guys.
We love it. You guys can listen to our podcasts on our website, 3inthebox, or through Podcast Player, or iTunes, Google Play Music, whatever.
Your favorite podcast app?
Yeah, why not? So that's it. Thanks. See y'all.